The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It is Thursday, and we ran out of sunscreen, so we decided to come back to the studio. Welcome to this afternoon. A lot happening. The SEC meetings continue in Destin. Still no word on which way the wind is blowing. Well, you should have something either today or tomorrow. We'll let you know quickly. Let's get to some headlines before our first guest. Matt Hayes, hope for a 9-game schedule is fading fast. That's seemingly what we heard all week long in Destin, and nothing has changed today. Meanwhile, Chris Del Conte, he was with us yesterday, personable guest and outstanding AD. He wants 9. Well, may have to wait. Let's join up with Matt Hayes here as we begin the program. Matt, thanks for the time. We all thought it was going to be 9. We were arguing over who should get which schools. What is going on down there, and what does it really mean, the fact that the SEC may not go where we all thought they would?
Is it white smoke or gray smoke yet, Paul? I left late last night. I'm just wondering if there's – are you seeing any smoke at all coming out of the chimney?
Yeah, I was there until this morning, and all I saw was sand.
It's you know what's funny, Paul, is they've always prided themselves on being, you know, Alabama's no better than Vanderbilt, Mississippi State's no better than Florida. And that's one of the charms about that conference is they're all for one for all. And it you know, it sounds hokey, but it's true. And I think at some point you got to stop trying to be everything for everyone, and you got to start doing, look, this is what's best for the conference moving forward. I think it's 9 games. You know, clearly there's a small group that wants 4, and there's a middle group that kind of will do whatever's good for the conference and kind of really would rather have home games. And I don't think everybody's looking big picture, Paul. I truly don't. And I think big picture is 9 games. Now, the thing is how much longer does this go on? Because they haven't been able to do it in 2 years. If they don't get it done this week and it's looking like it's not going to happen, how much longer does this go on? Because next year, if you try again next year, then you'll get Texas and Oklahoma. So there's going to be 2 more for the 9 games, but then you're still going to need to flip 2 people. And can you flip 2 other schools to get to that 9-game schedule? And to me, I think, and this is what gets lost in the entire thing, because we've been talking about schools and, you know, they want to get bowl eligible and they want money. At the end of the day, the people that lose most are fans, because you're not getting those classic SEC rivalry games like Alabama LSU, like Alabama Tennessee, like Texas, Texas A&M, like Florida LSU. You're not getting those games every year. You know, you're getting them twice every 4 years. So the loser at the end of the day are the fans.
Which brings me to this, Matt, for a league that can't do wrong, and we all know it, and the commissioner made it clear yesterday when I asked him about some of the punditry in relation to the fact they may not go to 9, and he pointed quickly to the 65-7 beatdown of TCU by Georgia. But how do you think this is going to look to around college football in relation to the big, bad SEC?
Yeah, I respect the hell out of Greg, and I think he's done an unbelievable job. And he's right. When you get right down to it, Paul, he's right. At the end of the day, it's 65-7. But, look, they are the number one conference in college football. They've got the best teams in college football. There's no reason for them to not be playing a larger conference schedule to where it's you know, you not only can you show what you have as a conference, but you're giving better games to your fans. Your fans are the people that go and fill those 90, 100,000-seat stadiums 7 times a year. Your fans are buying the apparel. Your fans are doing things for you and making it easier for you to sell your product. Why would you not give them a better product? Why would you force down their throat Charleston Southern and Furman and Tennessee Tech? Why would you do that? To me, that's just strange. It's strange that you're that good at what you do, but you're going to say, well, because we're that good, we can still stick at 8. And I think Greg is trying to move them into 9 because Greg sees that. You know, you got to keep moving. You can't stand still if you're the top dog. And he's trying to do that, but I think you've got too many people there with too many different ideas of what the right is instead of just saying, look, for the best of the entire conference, we need to do X, Y, and Z because that's how we've always done it.
Matt, I heard from a school, talked to somebody with a school yesterday from one of those conferences that may need that Charleston Southern game to become bowl eligible. And the individual said, we're not going to budge unless we get the money. Now, the money is enormous without an additional supplement. And what we're talking about here is ESPN. They own all the SEC games starting in 24. I understand it. You do. But the public doesn't know about all that, and they don't care about all that, do they?
They don't. And here's another thing, too, Paul. I mean, yes, they're going to get more than pro rata for Texas and Oklahoma. The last thing ESPN wants is the best property in college sports unhappy with their deal. So, I mean, they're not going to go crazy and give them a ton of money, but they're going to get more than pro rata no matter what schedule they have. Now, if they have nine, then the SEC can come back and it's a different – you've got a different story then. Then you can negotiate up significantly. So I look at it this way. If you've got nine, and again, they don't know because ESPN's not going to negotiate until they realize what the schedule is. But if you've got nine, I can't imagine, Paul, that you wouldn't make up that lost game with the money you're getting from ESPN.
Well said. Matt Hayes, I know you're in a hurry today, so we will get you back soon and continue this conversation. Matt, thank you very much. And thank you, Matt. I mean, I think there are more important issues going on at the SEC meetings and around college football than this 8-9, because once we get a resolution by the end of this week, we're moving on. But I think the reason why this was a big deal was we spent a year talking about the schedule. Everybody wants to know who they're going to play, especially those three permanent rivals. And it just seemed disappointing to get down there this week and find out it wasn't going to happen yet. It will happen. Matt's 100% correct. What we kept hearing yesterday, temporary, a one-off. Give us time to absorb Texas and Oklahoma. One thing I got the impression, especially talking to Chris Del Conte yesterday from Texas, they are ready. And you talk about a university that doesn't want anything other than the best on the schedule, and that would be our new friends in Austin. We will continue with plenty more guests and your phone calls, a little more caller-friendly. I know what you guys were saying yesterday. Come on, enough of the guests. But I'm not. This is not a mea culpa or anything. But when we are in a setting like that, there is no more unique setting on the calendar for us. And Media Days is programmed. We know there's morning sessions, there's afternoon sessions. It's all on television. What I mean is, we are down there with all the head coaches, all the athletic directors, presidents, administrators, and the best media people around. We wanted to use that time wisely, so we really did not have time for calls. That's the explanation. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong today about what we missed. We'll do that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back with more headlines. Pac, or is it big? It's Big 12. There's no such thing as a, yeah, there is. Not maybe not much longer. Big 12 expansion eyes Memphis. They turned Memphis down a couple of years ago, and I think it was a mistake. That's back on the horizon. Of course, everyone's in play, including Colorado. What would, I mean, Dion has not even coached a game yet at CU, and they're already talking about jumping leagues. Matt Olson will join us a little bit later on. You may have missed this one yesterday. This is the one that the college football world and the grocery aisles are talking about. The Cheez-It Bowl is no longer.
No.
It is now called the Pop-Tart Bowl. And I am glad to hear that because, yeah, everyone, when we were all kids, we ate Pop-Tarts. Now, I was a kid a lot longer ago than most of you. But I'm assuming the young kids still eat Pop-Tarts, Randy? And now a bowl game is named after them. Did you ever just, like, eat them out of the box?
Oh, yeah, I've never even toasted them.
Okay, I like them toasted. I may go stop and get some Pop-Tarts on the way home.
What was your flavor?
I like strawberry.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I had no choice in this. That was, what do they say? That was above my pay grade as a 5-year-old. My mother did not give me options on what to eat. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Strawberry Pop-Tart, huh? I would thought for sure you would have been a brown sugar kind of guy, Paul.
Watching my weight even back then.
Well, of course. I wanted to call about the conversation you just had with Matt Hayes. And something I really agreed with him about, with all the rule changes and all these things coming up. I mean, change is inevitable, but the road they're going down, it's going to end up hurting us as the fans of college football. And someone like Aaron Murray, I heard him during the spring game. I don't remember, maybe it was Vanderbilt. I don't remember which one, but he was talking during the game of, oh, man, the game, they need to change the rules to make the game shorter and shorter and shorter. But yet he's going to want to get paid more money for the games that he's covering. And, you know, until the advertisers and the television networks start getting hurt financially, this is just going to continue to happen. And it's a shame that we as fans, the games take less and less, but there's more and more commercials. There's less college football, more commercials, and we as the fans are just supposed to sit there,
John,
and take it and accept it.
John, I agree with you on a lot of that. I may work for ESPN, but I cannot stand watching games when it's timeout, 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 timeout. That is a big issue. The NFL has figured it out. The NFL plays about a 3-hour and 8-minute game. College football, the game can go 3:30 to 4 hours. I don't think it's as simple as they're trying to make money. The money's already made. It's just a matter of being judicious in managing the game and creating rules that speed the game up.
Well, and I agree with that, but the one thing I would like, if we're going to be more like the NFL, that I would request, there's really no way to stop the clock now other than a timeout. Because
right.
Currently in college football, when you run the ball out of bounds and it goes reset back to the line of scrimmage, the clock continues to run. So if they're going to have the ball, the clock run after a first down, they need to make it to where when you run the ball out of bounds, the clock stops until the ball is snapped again, and make it like the NFL. And not as long as the biggest thing, I hope they don't ever go to pass interference, spot foul. 50-yard penalties should not exist in college football. That would be the most egregious thing. But anyways,
thanks, John. Appreciate it very much. And we can complain all we want. We're still going to watch the games. The bigger issue, if you heard some of our guests, and probably the loudest on this subject was Scott Woodward on Tuesday, it's the game experience. And it goes back to the issue that Matt talked about a minute ago. Fans are getting very selective. As much as we love our LSU Tigers and our Auburn Tigers and the Tide and the Gators and the Commodores, we don't want to see these crummy games. So if you're a young person or an older person, it doesn't matter, on a hot September morning, if you have the 11 o'clock game in Fayetteville and Arkansas is playing Tulsa Southern, you're saying, why do I want to go to that when there's an 11 o'clock game that's five-star game on another network? I've got a 2:30 game, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina. I've got Alabama and Texas in prime time. I'm not going to waste 4 hours. And by the way, it's not 4 hours at the game. You know, we act like that's the beginning. If you're a fan of the Razorbacks and you're living in Little Rock, that's a 2.5 hour drive plus traffic, 3.5 hours. You're going to tailgate for an hour or two. You got the same drive back. That's a 12-hour day to see some worthless opponent. And I'm sure there are ADs and coaches around the country going, we're not worthless. Well, we're talking about brand value here in terms of, you know, you guys all have great programs, and every once in a while you slip through and make a competitive game. Most of the time you don't. John is in Louisville.
Yeah, I'm back in Louisville. It's nice to have you and Randy in the house again.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been playing the golf tour with Kenny Chesney. I'm glad to get back.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not going to be one to argue. I thought the last 2 days, the interviews with the analysts and coaches and presidents and ADs were some of your best 2 days you've had yet.
And John, we wish we had more time. And I know some people are saying, "Well, where was this coach or where was that person?" It's a very difficult scheduling situation for this reason. Yeah, if you want to get one of the sports writers, they're around for 4 hours. But the coaches have a narrow window, the ADs have a narrow window, and we have to juggle. I'm not trying to say this is, you know, like, you know, digging an oil well. I'm just saying it's just a matter of there's only so many spots, and you go to someone, they say, yeah, I could do it, but I'm not available then. And we had a lot of those. And then on Wednesday, John, the coaches, there's only one coach that you can get at the beach after the meetings are over, and that's Lane Kiffin, because he wants to go to the beach.
Albeit, it's always awkward with Lane, and it's becoming rinse and repeat with Griff, but all in all, they were great.
Oh, come on. I thought Griff was virtuoso on Tuesday. I mean, what Griff does is he starts like any comedian. He goes out on the road, he tries it out at comedy stores and then at comedy clubs. And you know, but I thought Griff was in his element the other day.
Well, he was. I mean, he's still building Mount Rushmore for his coach and taking the backhanded slaps at Nick. But I loved your optics on the Kingmaker Jimmy Sexton holding court with his fellow multimillionaires. That was special.
And for those who missed it, John, thank you. I met somebody. There's an outdoor restaurant, which is really great to eat at, just for the scenery and the wind. And I was walking back and ran into Jamari, who's one of our overseers here, and some of the other people where there was a bar where people just kind of sit and kind of kill time and look for guests. And you know, Jamari's sitting there going, have we missed someone? And at the very back, he said, look behind you. And there was Jimmy Sexton, back of the bar, big, one of those long tables. And I'm thinking back, there was Jimbo Fisher, Hugh Freeze, Eli, Stoops, Kirby. Who else was there? Maybe Lane, can't remember. I mean, everyone but Saban. Saban doesn't do hotel bars. But there were eight multimillionaires and then the most powerful guy down there holding court, Jimmy Sexton. We will continue here. Michael is up next. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Paul, the man, the myth, the legend.
Thank you.
I enjoyed your interview with Kirby Smart the other day. I think it was on Monday. And I just so amazed at how relaxed he looks now. He's not uptight like he used to always be when he's on TV.
Michael, that's the second time I've seen Kirby in 3 weeks. And he really is. I bumped into him yesterday while he was going to work at 7:45 in the morning. I was going to the workout room, and I had nothing to do. And I was I talked to him for a second as he was – and the guy's just – now, again, I understand when you win a couple of national championships, the living gets a little bit easier, but he's still as intense as he's ever been, but he has learned to relax on the air, and I'm really glad to see that because he's a funny guy. He's got a great personality, and back in the day, it was a little hard to pick up on that, though, because he was so laser-focused.
Yeah, it just seems like he's just more relaxed. I just want to get that across. It. I really enjoyed that interview and enjoyed watching both days you down there interviewing the people.
Well, thank you. We were talking about this yesterday in relation to media days, which, I mean, media days is a presentation. It's big. It's gigantic. The season is around the corner. I think there were a handful. I mean, there were 25 or 30 media people down there, but there are 1,000 media people at the SEC media days in July. It's completely different, and I think that's reflected by what you see and hear in the administrators and the coaches. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do today, especially your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Let's continue with Jeremy in Alabama. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
First-time caller. I was going to ask you about Jimmy Sexton. I know he's been in the game for a long time. I wonder what his net worth is.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's quite large, but it – He's had some ups and downs in his and I think that's understandable. He went through a difficult time for a while with a firm that had financial trouble. But in the last 10 years, if he never made a dollar before 10 years ago, he's doing quite well. Now the one thing about Sexton that's a little bit different. Your classic entertainment agent. For the top dollar clients usually gets 15%, and that's 15% of the paycheck.
Right.
Jimmy does not work like that. I mean, I know in the past he will set specific fees because, if you're – let's say you're representing Nick Saban, which he was and is, and he signs a deal for $4 million a year. And now he's making $12 million. I mean, at some point, you have to cap it. You just can't – the agent can't just keep – so So I think he does different. I don't know how he does it, but I've heard from the other side. I've talked to some of his clients in the past, and he also represents players. He's part of. Jimmy is now. I mean, Jimmy was with a financial firm in Memphis for a long time. I think it was Morgan Keegan, and now he is affiliated with CAA, which is a mega company that represents, you know, thousands of actors, athletes, television personalities, et cetera. So I'm not exactly sure, but he would be enormously wealthy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I imagine he hadn't missed any car payments lately.
No. He's not like the rest of us where we check the price at a store. I don't know. I always still like to do that. You know, the guy said, "Yeah, this is a brand new suit. Great. You got to have it." And I'll go, really? I don't think I have to have it that badly. Let's talk to Matt.
Hey, brother, how you been, man? Long time.
Hey, Matt.
I tried to call you yesterday, but I guess I couldn't get through. Can
Matt, hey, hold on a second. This guy Trey, has a beef with you.
Yeah, he's mad because we're friends. I won't talk him. Say, pig, sue you. Look, I'm going to say it to you straight, Paul. You know me. I'm an Aggie fan. True and true. Trey, we're friends. But no way in heck am I saying pig, suey. The only thing
okay,
I'm saying
we,
is
can we get Trey on with – hold on a second. Hold on, Matt. Trey, you're on with Matt here. You guys work this out, okay?
Okay.
Trey, you there?
Woo, pig, suey. That's all you got to say. Woo, pig, suey.
Trey, you guys suck so bad. We're going to whoop you so bad like a redhead statue on me go cry back home with your mama. We're going to beat the brakes out of you. Lucky's going to beat you like a Cherokee drum. Because you're a bunch of losers.
No.
I don't know. I got one question I want to ask you.
Oh, what you going to do? What you going to say?
Hey, Matt, Trey, the bet was that if Arkansas beat A&M, is that correct? In baseball.
Yep.
The other guy would have to say, woo pig suey. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Matt, here's the deal. Matt, listen to me for a second, okay?
Yeah.
Did you make that bet?
No, I did not make that bet.
Matt, I only want yes or no answers here. Did you make that bet?
No, I did not make that bet. No.
Matt, I one more time. What? Yes or no. Did you make that bet?
No.
Trey, did he make that? When did he make that bet?
Whenever the bases were loaded and Arkansas was making a pitching change to Zach Morris. Whenever A&M had the bases loaded.
And where did he make that bet?
On the Paul Feinbaum Show with Peter Burns.
Okay. I wasn't here, so Matt, I'm asking you, Matt, I'm asking you as a gentleman, pay the bet off.
I didn't make a bet with him. If I make a bet in football, I don't care for baseball.
Matt, if you're denying what Trey just said.
Yeah, I'm denying it. Because he's lying. I didn't make no trade, no bet in baseball. I'm sorry, man. We're friends, but I'm not making a bet in stupid baseball. I don't care for it. I'm going to call football, call basketball.
Trey, I'm confused. I don't want to go listen to the tape, but where are you getting this from?
I was getting it from...
Make a bet like that.
Okay. Matt, you're in trouble here. You better be quiet, okay? I want to hear the facts from Trey.
All right. I called in. I told Jamar I'm going to make a bet with Matt from San Antonio in the Arkansas's first game in the SEC.
Okay. Now, how did you communicate the bet?
I called in.
Okay.
I made the prediction.
So
that
you
Arkansas
said, now my question to you is did Matt agree?
I honestly have no idea.
Okay. Well, then, okay.
Jamar,
well, Trey, I got bad news. Trey got bad news for you. Matt does not have to pay off a bet he didn't make. This is not, I think I did something. You better know. So, case closed. Sorry, guys.
All right.
You agree with me? I thought he actually had done it. and we were going to force Matt to do it, yeah, which would have been really funny.
Finally, Matt was right about something.
I mean, Matt came out of that pretty well. Yeah. Trey is imagining this thing. Trey said it's up to me to decide whether he made the bet or not.
He made a bet with himself.
By the way, I don't think the WWE is going to steal those two guys for their next WrestleMania. Adam is up next. Hello, Adam.
Yes, I haven't talked to you in a few years.
Well, thank you for calling.
Auburn's coaching, and luckily they got a coach that I won for Alabama, but they got a great coach. But I was going to call about the pod. I've been thinking about this for years. It probably is not practical because I really love to see some of those old rivalries maintained. But if the rivalries go away, I would love to see the top pod with the champion, the best, highest ranked winner, play the pod with the lowest ranked champion of that pod as a final game of the season and be pod wide. So the pod with the number one plays the pod with the number whatever is the worst pod, and they would get in the winning, the highest rank would get home field advantage across the board. You know, so you're one versus one, four versus four. And the beauty of that would, you would see some teams that might be a year or two off matchup. You'd get something quick, but there's going to be some teams that are all kind of on the bottom that might be barely bowl eligible, and that could get some of them over. It could take a team out, you know, because you might be the best team in the number one, but you could lose, you know. But it would be very interesting to see something like that. And I would love to see, you know, that kind of thing happen if we can't keep some traditional rivalries. But I like it. But you could also spread the games out. Once you played your ones and your top teams, or even your top two teams on a Saturday, you could. The other teams don't really matter because the next game's a championship. You could. I wouldn't play one past Thursday the following week, but you could slip one in Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and have a little entertainment all week. I think it would be a wonderful opportunity.
Adam, it's interesting. Hey, thank you. I mean, I think they have the tentative schedule for the first year or two laid out, but I think the second iteration of it in 26 when it's open, when it will change hands in terms of media partners and all that, maybe they'll listen to what you had to say. We're off and running here. Matt Hayes joined us a few minutes ago. We'll take your phone calls right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and we are taking your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Randy is in Memphis. Hello, Randy.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think Lane Kiffin will do about this three quarterbacks that he has with Jackson Dart, Walker Howard, and Spencer Sanders? How do you think he's going to deal with that, and who do you think is going to be our starter?
Yeah, I asked him that yesterday in terms of his quarterback room, and he was non-committal. I don't have a great answer for you because, I mean, I kept hearing Jackson, you know, it was Jackson Dart's to lose, but it certainly seemed like Kiffin may have been eager to see someone else move into that position, don't you think?
Yeah, I think the same thing because I don't think he would have brought in this older guy and Spencer Sanders if he didn't want to give Dart a run for his money.
Yeah, I think it's just like the situation that we've obsessed over at Alabama. If you're happy with what you have, why do you go out and look for another quarterback? And I know the competition cliche and all that, but it's a dicey situation, and I can't get inside Lane's head, but I bet he knows he's just not going to acknowledge it until we get a little deeper into fall practice. Thanks for the call. Interesting question, though, and it's an important question. Big Lou is up next. Hello, Lou.
Yeah, this is Big Lou from Birmingham, Alabama. First-time call.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I've been following you since I was in second grade, and I'm 47 years old.
Well, thank you. Makes me feel really young.
I'm an Alabama fan, and a house divided. My wife is an Auburn fan, but I called to talk about Alabama and Georgia. Georgia has the ability to recruit quality defensive linemen. That's why the defenses in their secondary don't show up as much. But with Alabama, it's totally different. The cornerback position, we only had one good guy, but the defensive line couldn't get the penetration. So we have high-powered teams, you'll get exposed. Hopefully they can fix that. So I'm looking forward to a 12-0 Alabama. Thanks.
Thank you, Big Lou. You've been listening to me since the second grade?
He's 47,
so how long is that?
That'd be about
43 years. He started listening to me before I started doing this. But that's okay.
We got to start sometime.
He has a good imagination. Don is up next. Hello, Don.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Sounds like you're doing well.
We are. Thank you.
I'm assuming your time in Alabama, you've heard of Slap Out, right?
I most certainly have. It's one of the great names of any small town in America.
Yeah. That's where I'm from. And back when I was a kid, I had a brother that was a lot older than me. Well, I say a lot. He wouldn't like to hear that. But he was a good bit older than me. And I was actually in elementary school. And Kirby Smart's brother was in my same grade, same class. And Kirby was a couple of years younger, and his dad was my brother's football coach.
That is remarkable.
At Holt Mill High School.
Slap Out, that's north of Montgomery, right?
Right, Elmore County, just
okay,
close
sure.
to Wetumpka, Alabama.
Okay. Well, yeah, it is such a great name. What kind of a coach was Coach Smart, the elder?
As far as I know, he was pretty good. Everybody there thinks real highly of him. There's still a lot of people that are keeping in touch with him through social media, Facebook, and things such as that. But I knew Carl a lot better than I knew Kirby. I don't know Kirby's exact age, but his brother Carl was we were friends in elementary school, but that's been so long ago.
I think Kirby is 47.
Okay, so he would be a year or two behind me. I'm 48,
right.
And I know Carl and I were the same age. His mother was also a teacher at Hopeful High School, and I think when they left there, that's when they went to Georgia, and he went to Bainbridge, Georgia to coach football in Bainbridge, Georgia.
Yeah, but for anyone who doesn't think that Kirby is not a good son, he was during a commercial when we were talking to Kirby, he was texting his mother the other day. I give away state secrets, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play under Coach Smart, but he was, because like I said, I was a good bit younger, so they were long gone by the time I reached high school age. But his mother, I believe, was an English teacher.
Yeah.
And his dad was the football coach at the school, and my brother played for him, and my brother speaks very highly, so... I was friends with Carl and knew Kirby back in the day, but Kirby was probably so young then, he might not even remember his days in Slap Out, Alabama.
Yeah, I did not realize that. I mean, I knew he came from an educational family. I knew his dad at one time was a coach. I think he later moved up. And I think that also helped shape him. Thanks very much for the call. We were talking to Jerry Moorhead Tuesday, who's the president at UGA. And he was, I think, the head of the business school. And he was talking about Kirby as a student. He said he was very bright, and he could see a lot of what we see now. And I'm not suggesting that all coaches aren't bright. But I've never heard Lane Kiffin's college professor talk about, I could look out there at little Lane, and you could tell we could do that one day on a slow day. I mean, Brian Kelly looked like the kind of guy that took school seriously. Okay. Ed Ogeron? Mm-hmm. What time we get out today? We will be back. 3 more hours straight ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.